So before we begin, I would actually like to go back to a couple of notes that we discussed back in February. How many of you remember that discussion? The average person forgets the sermon they heard within 10 minutes of walking out the door. So it doesn't hurt my feeling. But so on February 23rd, last, you know, almost a year ago, we talked about how God is bringing the church through difficult challenges. And this is before we even saw shutdowns coming, right? That wasn't until March. We talked about how he was bringing us through difficult challenges, which started in 2019. And his purpose was to teach people to hold on to him when there's nothing left to hold on to. That's kind of cool, right? Like we were just starting to learn what a COVID was. So now we have to stop and say, put the pause on that for a second and just look at all of life. So you don't just get distracted by the one thing and say, has God brought you through a journey this year, starting 2019, that has taught you how to look and hold more securely to him than ever before? Yes, me and Steve. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. To trust him when there's no other options. This is important. We're doing an almost like an inventory check on what the Lord's done through your year, right? I mean, it's important, like, right? Correct. We have to trust him when we have options, but sometimes you don't learn to trust him when you have options until you have none. And then he's like, okay, you got it. You know, back in the story of Samuel, he rolled a stone. He was fighting, you know, he and the army were fighting an enemy. And in this particular story, you know, the Israelites had no hope, no weapons, no opportunity to win against an army that was much, much bigger than them. And the Lord just spoke from heaven and spoke like this confusion over the enemy as they were fighting. And the enemy just couldn't even keep up. And so Samuel rolls this big old rock and he calls it Ebenezer, not like Scrooge. But that word in the Hebrew means up until this point, God has helped us. That's what it means. And that's a great perspective. So I'm coming back to this. The Lord actually pricked my heart this week to just cover a couple of these things for inventory. It's almost like we're rolling a stone into today and saying, up until this point, God has helped us. Here's what he's been doing, right? Okay. He told us that we would be in building an enduring faith to thrive in a new normal. Okay. Back before new normal was on the media, that was coming out. And that was a part of what he was doing in us, right? Building enduring faith. Okay, what does that look like? Well, in this year alone, and I speak from my own personal perspective, and you can either agree or disagree, it doesn't bother me either way, but politics have failed me. Media has failed me. Dare I say science has failed me. I have two conflicting science reports from the same agency. No offense, I'm sorry, but you get what I'm saying, right? The same agency printed two conflicting scientific research documents, and the research shows the courts have failed me. And no, I'm not being sued. Right? Social gatherings have been just completely destroyed, right? In many cases, right? People that I wouldn't think twice about coming over are not able to come over. You know what I mean? Addiction, suicide, divorce, right? Are you feeling the joy of the Lord? I'm sorry. Bible teachers and the prophetic have failed me this year. Oh, it kind of hurts to admit it, but it's true, right? I'm speaking the truth of love. I've heard prophetic people retract their statements. Might be a little too premature. Maybe they cowered out in it, you know, before they should have. I don't know. The point is, when everything around this year has felt kind of like it failed us, the Lord is like teaching us. He's bringing us through a process to say, you can hold on to me and I won't fail you. Right? It's so easy to just like go Google something and just take something for granted. And I have this information and this outlet told me this, or this report told me this, and I just keep on moving. You can't do that this year anymore, right? There's only one place I can very quickly say I could just get the download and move on. It's this. Everything else is kind of halfway, it's 50-50, wrong or right, and I haven't decided which half. Yeah? Yay. All right, you're so excited. This is an invitation and a time for repentance and death to self. This is a time and an invitation to receive the Holy Spirit, and this is a time for boldness, okay? We said in February, accusations were coming. Accusations were coming, and the church would have to step into the accusation and still be salt and light. Boldness of the Holy Spirit to pray and ask the Lord to do greater things through us, through the church, in the community. Yes? And boldness in the Holy Spirit to walk in new levels of freedom. And that last line caught me so hard last year, that the Holy Spirit wants his people to walk in new levels of freedom, that we've spent much of this later part of this year talking about freedom. Because it's so important that we get free now, that the stuff that we may have tolerated over the years in our life, like those little, you know, a little bit of unforgiveness, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of brokenness, a little bit of excuses, a little bit of habits that we shouldn't have in our life, need to stop being tolerated. Like it was okay years ago, but it's not okay anymore. We don't have room in our life for that kind of stuff. We don't have time. Like, the world is changing way too rapidly. If we're not evolving too, we're not relevant, right? Right. Okay. I know that, you know, that's want to give you time to process that. If the world is changing that fast and you're not changing in him for the better, you have no light. Right? You're like, man, don't go on vacation anymore. All right, cool. Thanks, buddy. So Chris taught last week on who's really in control, right? Who's really in, and we know that answer. And so today I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, it's time to seek wisdom from the one who's really in control. And so we're going to talk about that. And it might take us 2 weeks to get through this one. But seeking wisdom from the one who's really ultimately in control in the craziness, right? Okay. You guys focused last week mostly on Romans 8, which happens to be my favorite chapter of the New Testament. And it talks about how it's not a result of our own effort, but it's a result of the Spirit. It's surrendering to and walking after the Holy Spirit. And that brings life and peace and freedom and security and intimacy with the Father and all that, right? It's in one chapter. Love it. And so we'll jump in with our anchor. This seems to be our anchor scripture. I don't know that we're doing it on purpose, but Ephesians 3, when Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus, he prayed that in verse 18, Ephesians 3:18, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. If we were trying to create like a single word definition to describe what it means to have the power to understand, what would that word be? If you were now given with a magical wand, the power to understand, what did that little fairy give you? Wisdom, right? I mean, I'm not trying to like make any really technical, but it's wisdom. We need wisdom from the Holy Spirit, even to understand how much we're loved. Because of the brokenness of our life and because of the definitions we've received by the significant people throughout our lifetime, we can either be limited to or open to the idea that you are loved of him. And man, that makes all the difference when you encounter any situation, any given situation, whether it be huge or tiny, minuscule, it is confirming one thing or another. You are either loved or you're not. Right? You're either receiving the love of God in his intervention in a situation, or you're just a slave and you got to work it off. Right? Yes. That's right. That's the truth. you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how deep, right? How long, how high. That's right. That's right. May you experience the love of God. So it's not just I read about it, so I know it's true. It's I read about it, and then I dove into it, and the Holy Spirit hit me. Wow. It was almost like one of those comedies where the music suddenly just comes up, and you know it's a touching moment, and you're not supposed to laugh anymore. I feel like Full House. But may you experience love of God, right? The world needs to see a people who don't just describe the love of God, because, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? Do you understand? I just read this verse to you, and that means you're loved because I read it to you. Yes, that's the foundation. But we were called to walk into and experience that love, to firsthand say, I've been touched by the love of God, and it's changed everything, right? And that comes by wisdom to understand that he's doing that, and a prayer to seek and say, God, you got to do that for me in a greater way, right? Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And I would say that if you don't feel complete in the fullness of life and power that comes from God, then keep praying verses 18 and 19. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm saying, yeah, I'm ready for more of the life and, you know, the fullness. So that's me going back to verse 18 and 19, which is why we keep reading this over and over. Was that not alone? Oh, good. Good. I could always sit and you could preach. And then verse number 20. Now all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And he continues, but I'm going to stop there. You know, we just have to realize the only reason that God wants to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think is because of us. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll apply certain concepts in there, like he's just doing it because he wants the glory, which is true. He does. Now all glory to God, right? But that's not the motivation. The motivation is not, I want all the glory, so therefore I'm going to use you. No, it's, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love to use you. I love to blow your socks off. I love to move through you in a way that would reach others that you would never have considered. I love that, right? Because I love you. Yeah. Again, if we can't connect with the love, then all we're doing is trying to earn it. Right? Okay. So God desires a people who know how much they're loved. They can experience his love, not just talk about it. They understand his love, not just quote scriptures about it. Right? And they're full of his life and his power. Have we, and this is your own inventory question, sold the birthright of love and power for a temporary second-rate distraction? Okay. Have we, or do we, live in despair and disappointment as a reality? And then sometimes it takes prayers for wisdom to more fully embrace this world that God is trying to open us up to, right? It's got to pray for it. You know, Solomon prayed for wisdom, right? And God was happy that he asked for that, right? So asking for wisdom actually, like, makes him happy. So when we ask for wisdom, I'm just going to, like, give you the top three high-level concepts, and then we're going to drill into these as we go, but number one, wisdom of God may appear as information or a direction that you had previously not known. It's like a download. The Holy Spirit gives it to you, and voila, you have something you didn't have before. That's not all the time. That's sometimes, right? And then sometimes the wisdom of God is actually just obeying when you don't want to, and when you sometimes, you know, can't even see why. I'm going to move this so you can see each other. Opened up the view, and if you don't want to see me, go ahead and put it back. Okay. Yeah, you're like, no, I'd rather look at flowers. So sometimes the wisdom of God can be in just simply in obedience, okay, but not always. Sometimes, and then sometimes the wisdom of God can be a revelation that might take your mind some time to process, but your heart is on fire and you know it's the right thing. And you kind of have to, in faith, act on that burning of your heart. We're going to talk about that, okay? So that it doesn't just sound like I'm giving stupid advice, because it's not advice at all. It's scriptural. But you have to jump onto the thing that the Holy Spirit might be burning in your very soul to do, because everything in your physical is going to be screaming, I don't want to do that. Right? Okay. You can give me a show of hands, maybe, or even give us a quick 20-second story. If there was ever a time that your heart was on fire and you knew you were supposed to do something, it was the wisdom of God for you for that minute, and everything in you was screaming, nope, no thank you. And you had a chance, buddy, so I'm going to give someone else a chance just in case. All right. Anybody else? All right, show of hands. Maybe you don't want to say. Okay. Well, yeah, there you go, me and Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yep. And to those who are faithful a little, that makes it faithful much, right? So definitely, thank you. So this isn't hard to understand, but we live in Christ the same way that we came into Christ, right? And so think about this. You were given, while you were a very smart person before you knew Christ, you were given an almost foolish story about God coming as a son, half human, right? But fully God. And he died on this cross. And when he died on this cross, somehow that made you right with him. And if you just believe, then that makes you okay, right? And that's like, it's kind of a foolish story. And I'm not making fun of it, but the Bible even says the gospel is foolishness to the world, right? But somehow God gave us this moment where the foolishness made sense. And we bought it. And it changed everything, right? It was a supernatural wisdom, and we're to live by that same supernatural kind of wisdom. It's not like we got it once and that's it, and great, you're in. Now you're on your own, right? Okay. You guys are New Englanders, aren't you? Sorry, I'm spoiled. I was in North Carolina, so I was with Southerners, and they were more animated. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, if you don't mind, it says that the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, right? But we who are being saved, it's the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does that leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. So you actually get what I'm talking about. There's this foolish concept of the cross, and yet somehow it became life to us, right? And the God who said, you know, I made the philosophers, I made the scholars, right? I'm not telling you don't listen to them. I'm just telling you not to make that kind of thinking your only process for arriving at decisions, right? I mean, we're all going to do the best we can with the information provided, but guess what? What happens in a world when all the information provided, or at least half of it, is lies or wrong? Now what? It must be an election. It's like, oh, nah, it's funny. I didn't say it, you did. But think about it, right? If half of all the information provided to you is wrong, how do you make a good decision, right? We need to pray for this, something greater. And I'm completely willing and ready to begin praying over people today. So if you're like saying, I don't quite know how to go with this, just begin to surrender to the Holy Spirit today. We're going to pray for wisdom to be poured out and the ability to hear his voice, and just go for it. Okay. Don't walk out of here without that. So 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, and I'm just kind of rolling to the end of that chapter. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. So who is wisdom? Jesus, right? Christ, Jesus, same name. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and we are free from sin. We have the benefit of Jesus himself inside of us. There's a wisdom. We're just gonna focus on that today. That the one who came in a moment where we said that's foolish became life to us. And the world is still saying, no, 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 it's foolish. And now we're the idiots saying, no, no, it's not. It's actually life. It's peace. It's freedom. It's joy. And they're like, no. That's impossible. It's scientifically impossible, historically impossible. It's whatever impossible, right? And you're like, no, it's real. I'm telling you. How do you know? If you could feel what I felt, if you could experience what I've experienced, you would know it's true, right? All right. I hope I haven't lost you. Why would we, having started out with a miraculous understanding of the love of God and the grace of God, then just sort of shut that off and go down the path of saying, I will only listen to information to make my decisions? We would never do that, right? Or would we? With me? We can continue going down the road of observation, news, public opinion, and other people's input. Facebook. Right? All right. Chris read last week, and I'll jump off what he read, but Philippians 4, 6 through 9. There, please. Thank you. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This is key, okay? I'm not going to cover anything he spoke about. I want to speak about something else, and that is being led by the peace of God in your life, okay? It goes beyond anything we can understand. The peace of God. It's actually guarding your heart. It's guarding your mind. The peace of God, because your mind is freaking out, your heart's freaking out in any given situation. And the peace of God is the one thing that leads you, okay? And I would even say, if you don't feel the peace of God over a decision, then don't act on it until you do. Matter of fact, the thing I tend to teach, not usually from a pulpit experience, more like when I'm one-on-one with somebody who's got a really major decision they have to make, I say, picture yourself in, you know, the dressing room of God's peace, okay? And you've got two outfits. And you're standing in the front of the mirror, and you put the one on, and you put the other on, you look in the mirror. You put the other one on, right? And ladies, you understand, I don't think I've ever switched outfits twice in front of the mirror, but I have to go with this. At some point, as you're like, even say this out loud with the Holy Spirit in the room, I'm going to go do option A. I am going to go do option B. I'm going to go do option A. And let the peace of God rest on whichever option He's leading you to. Surrender to Him and just try it on. I mean, we're humans. We're not exactly hearing 100% all the time, right? Right? I can have a conversation with my wife face to face and get, like, not everything she just said, right? I can miss it all the time. Now, picture God Himself who's, right? We can miss it. And so by doing that whole confirmation thing and letting the peace of God just cover that situation and hover over that thing, and then when we take it away, we know, I'm going to go do option A, and we know it's B. We felt the peace of God on option A. Feel the peace of God almost like lift on option. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, the more and more I just hold this before the Lord and I surrender it to Him and I just let His peace guide me, I acknowledge Him in all my ways, He's directing my path. It almost sounded like Proverbs 3:5. Right? Okay. So why do I suggest that? Because worry is screaming really loud. Worry's, I don't know about you, worry can scream pretty loudly to me. I'm a dad, I got kids, I got a wife, obligations, right? It's up to me, until it's not. And that's when I freak out. You? And worry is competing with the voice of the Lord, with the wisdom of God, because worry is telling you to go either fight or flight, right? And those two things usually don't work out well in the end. And so that's why I'm trying to say is you even have to surrender your fight and your flight to the Holy Spirit and just test that out in the dressing room of peace. And just say, I'm going to go run away right now. You won't feel the peace of God rest on that. I'm going to fight. I'm going to kick your teeth in. You won't feel the peace of God. You'll feel something else, but it won't be peace. You'll feel justified, but you won't feel peace. You know what I'm getting at? You need the peace of God leading. That's why he's saying, pray about everything. I want to be involved in everything. Tell me what you need. Thank me for what I've done. Thankfulness positions and postures the heart to hear and receive from him. Because thankfulness is the exact opposite of worry, right? And so when we're living in worry, we're not thankful for the fact that he's always been there and taking care of us. We're more like, but this time I think you won't, right? And so thankfulness reminds that screaming worrier inside, he's good and he's always been there and he always will, right? It boosts our trust meter. And that's when he was like, then you'll experience peace. And that peace is beyond anything you can understand. And that peace is going to guard your heart and mind, right? Okay. So therefore, brothers, sisters, that's my therefore. And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You can find all that on CNN if you need it. Right? No. The world, like, and I picked on one broadcast, and I'm not picking over one over another. But my point being is the world is actually needs to kind of fear monger because that's how it's competing for attention, and that's how it's selling advertising right now. Right? So it's motivated by fear. And I don't pick your broadcast. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's all fear based right now. And it's almost like the Lord was writing this for us. Fix yourself on these things. I'm not saying don't watch it, but man. Sometimes we can fixate on news, which could be media of any kind, and it's just directing our thoughts, right? And it may not be news. It could be any form of media that's pulling our minds and our hearts away from truth, from the beautiful things of God, the honorable things of God, the right things of God, the pure things of God, the lovely things of God. It could be anything, right? Movies, music, anything. By fixing our mind on those things, we're keeping ourselves grounded in the reality of heaven. And when you're grounded in the reality of heaven, it's easier to hear what he's saying because he doesn't sound like such an alien speaking to us. You know what I mean by that? When I say alien, like he's from a different world. Because we're living in his world. So when he speaks, it's like, oh, that makes more sense. In this upside down kingdom, that actually fits. Right? All right. So we'll cover over the first concept that I spoke about to you earlier, where wisdom can be information or direction you hadn't previously known, and then we'll probably be out of time by then. But 2 Chronicles, verse number 1, and then starting with verse 6, reading from the Message, Solomon worshiped God at the bronze altar in front of the tent of meeting. He sacrificed 1,000 whole burnt offerings on it. Notice there was an act of worship going on here before anything happened. Right, I can't underemphasize the importance of lifestyle worship. Ask the Lord for what you need, and then thank Him. Right, that's the Philippian scripture we just saw before. That it's so important that we enter into worship. That night, God appeared to Solomon, and God said, "What do you want from me? Ask." Isn't that cool? You need your mom. You need it too. Here. You want me to take them? All right, I don't mind taking them. All right. Sorry. You can go anywhere you want. You can't stay here. All right. What's that? Oh, yeah, that is my son. For all of you who are insulted on behalf of the baby. that's right. And no wonder why I said I wanted her, too. oh, my gosh. Too many things just happened there. So God said, what do you want from me? Ask. Which he's making that request of us all the time, right? Solomon answered, you were extravagantly generous with David, my father, And now you've made me king in his place. I love this, guys. This is like before asking God for anything. He, again, framing the context of who God is with what he's done, right? You were extravagant with my father. Not like something else. Like, now I'm finding myself in this place here, God, and I'm scared, and I need you to begin to, right? No. Take a step back. You were extravagant to my dad, and now I'm here in his place. And it just, right? Just so good. It frames the rest of this prayer, right? Establish, God, the words you spoke to my father. You've given me a staggering task ruling this mob of people. Give me wisdom and knowledge as I come and go among this people. For who on its own is capable of leading these your glorious people? Next slide, please. God answered Solomon, this is what has come out of your heart. You didn't grasp for money, wealth, fame, the doom of your enemies. You didn't even ask for a long life. You asked for wisdom and knowledge so you could govern well my people over whom I've made you king. Because of this, you get what you asked for, wisdom and knowledge, and I'm presenting the rest of the bonus, the money, wealth, fame, and all the other stuff, right? But God, like, you can actually see God smiling by the fact that Solomon asked for wisdom. He wasn't like, okay, my son, climb this mountain, and there will be a guru. And then you will ask him, you know, you're one, you got three questions, no more than that, right? I mean, he was just like, for the rest of his life, he's like, he poured out wisdom on this man. Even when this man is now living in idolatry, right? And you know the rest of the story of Solomon, I hope, where it was horrible. It went downhill fast. The Lord never pulled his wisdom from Solomon. Like, the Lord loves us, and he loves pouring that out of us. And he wants to see us walking in relationship with him and using that wisdom for the better, but it's not like it's all conditional, okay? I mean, again, if it's love-based, it's not conditional, right? Yay. If it was conditional, I wouldn't have any gifts, but how about you? And now we know this, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. I'd like to go faster, but Exodus 28, verse 3, talking about the folks who were helping as the craftsmen over the tabernacle, instruct all skilled craftsmen who I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, have them make garments for Aaron, right? Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, just as the Lord had commanded. I mean, so wisdom in this case was actually transferred in a time of prayer as one person was praying over another. So for anybody who's like, well, if I pray with someone, how do I know? Well, it's scriptural. It's scripture, it's a pattern, right? Isaiah 11, 2-3. This one's actually speaking about Jesus. You'll recognize this one. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance or make a decision based on hearsay. That's Jesus, right? So we understand that when we asked for the Holy Spirit to come into our life and fill us, we were getting so much more than just the life-giving Spirit. We're getting the Spirit of all wisdom and understanding. Makes me hungry. Does it make you hungry? Hungry to know more about what he's placed within me. How about within you? This idea that there's wisdom that just goes beyond the best information that's available. You see it with Daniel, where they realize he had a wisdom that was of the gods, they call it. Like, how could he know that? How could he have that? Right, Jesus, when he was challenged by teachers who had grown up in scholarly teachings of the scriptures, when they would challenge him, he would blow them away. And how did he do that? When they challenged the disciples, they were like, they're not even learned men. They're not edumacated. And yet, it's like they've been with Jesus. Because he used to do the same thing. He used to stump us. Right? God generously gives wisdom to those who ask. So James chapter 1, verse 5-8, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you, period. It almost sounds like the same God who in Solomon's day said, what do you need? Ask. Right? That's your invitation. You've got it. You're allowed to come to the party. He will not rebuke you for asking. He will not say, yeah, you need wisdom, you idiot. Right? But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. And that one can actually really shake you, because you're like, oh no, is my loyalty divided? Oh my goodness, right? You kind of like trip over your feet as you're trying to learn how to dance. You're looking at them and you trip. You know what I mean? It's not about that. It's basically saying, hey, if God is your source of wisdom, and then you bail on him and say, but let me get a second opinion over here, and then look at all this information, and then you have to make a decision which one you're going to follow, and then you follow this one only because it's, right? It doesn't. You're basically telling the Lord you like him as an advisor, you don't like him as a leader. Right? And that's where he's saying, you should not expect anything. If you're just going to treat me like an advisor, like I'm some counselor who's right on par with the five other counselors in your life, and I'm one of them, and you're just going to consult me along with the other four and then make your best decision, like it's your life and you have something to do with it, you're wasting your time and you're being thrown about like a wave on the sea. Don't expect anything, right? Hallelujah. So the wisdom thing is a shift in our priority, right? It's a shift in our priority. If we're not desperate, then we're really not interested. And I just want you to do your inventory and do whatever it takes to say, God, make me desperate for your voice in my life, because I'm too comfortable making my own decisions and not really consulting you and then surrendering and obeying. Right? That's a scary, dangerous one, right? No? Okay. It is. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 8. This is one of my favorite in the Old Testament. Not my most, but one of. Proverbs, the whole book of chapter 8 and 9 is amazing if you want to hear from the Spirit of Wisdom. But I'm only reading the first 9 verses here. But listen as wisdom calls out. And who is wisdom? The Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, he's the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. So in a highly accessible area, right? On a hill, at the busy intersection. This is not like he's on a really hard to reach place, being the guru, the little old man with all the wisdom, right? He's in a very available, busy intersection, right on the hill, so you can hear him screaming. And by the gates to the entrance of the town, on the road leading in, she cries out, I call to you, all of you, so it's for everybody. I raise my voice to all people, because I'm not just whispering. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. For I speak the truth and I detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There's nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. You understand, like the Holy Spirit is making himself, and it's called a she in this scripture just because of Solomon's choice of words, but don't get lost on that. Just understand the Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit making himself available and saying, everybody, I don't care if you're foolish or if you're wise, I'm available. And if you want me, just come find me. Yeah? All right. Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3. The Lord says, the Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, he's the guy from the very beginning, whose name is the Lord. Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know. That's a promise. You know what I mean? Jeremiah 29. You guys know this one, right? Which verse am I going to read when I say Jeremiah 29? 11. Yay. I actually got to read 11 to 13. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Which means if you will look for me half-heartedly, that's the other part of the promise. You will not. Right? Okay. So I'm done, I swear. And this is what I felt like the Lord was saying. You know, in this time, more than any other, at least in my short little lifetime, nothing really makes a lot of sense. You know? In all those areas that I told you about. And I believe that it's a really important training ground for us, the church, because whether it gets better or whether it doesn't get any better, maybe it even gets worse, it doesn't really matter. Like, we need to be a people who hear the wisdom of the Lord and know how to act in the right time and in the right season. David traveled with a group of guys. They were called the Sons of Issachar. They knew the times and the season for everything that was supposed to be done. And that's why he traveled with them. He loved them. Right? They had a wisdom that came from the Lord. So if we can look at our prayer topics really quickly, and this is something that we can all spend some time doing our inventory. And number one, I surrender my own way to be led by yours in every area of life. And I would like to add on to that, Lord, we would be desperate in that pursuit, not just kind of, you know, somewhat interested. Number two, God, give me wisdom. I praise you because you're generous and pleased to answer this prayer. And I threw that in there because gratitude is the doorway to hearing from him, right? Hearing him rightly. Number three, help me to stop rebelling against your commands. I need to be faithful in the wisdom of your word. That's something we're going to probably cover more next week. But the idea is this: ask for wisdom and then disobey. Ask for wisdom and then disobey. See how far that pattern gets you. And this last one, we'll cover this next week, but you'll know it when you feel it this week. And that is, help me recognize the burning of my heart when Jesus speaks. Right? I'm so done turning that channel off and saying, I felt it, but I wasn't moved. I want to be moved by the sensing of the Spirit, the burning of the heart. Right? Move to action, not just move to my emotions. How about you? Amen. So people are listening online, so maybe we can pass the mic and do the prayer thing together. And I know if you hate microphones, I'm sorry, but let's pray together and in the way that they can hear online. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that there's an introduction to this next conversation you want to have with us this week, and that is the topic of supernatural wisdom. It's the wisdom to know what is real, what is not real, how to act, when to act, when to be still, for how long to be still. Lord, you not only know the exact thing to do, but you know the intensity that we're supposed to do it. Father, your wisdom has led us to this moment. Your wisdom took the scales from our eyes and allowed us to see the wisdom of the cross. Lord, we may not even have been listening or seeking. You found us, opened our eyes to the supernatural wisdom of God. And Lord, every day that we come and we open up our scriptures and we ask you to move in our life, you've been so faithful to show us breadcrumbs that have continued to lead us in the direction that we need to go. God, you've been so good. We want to just take this time before any, God, just say you've been so good in speaking to us. And Lord, we just ask for more wisdom, even right now. For some of us, Lord, we are facing down a situation that we do not know what to do next. And Lord, we need you to break through the analysis paralysis and tell us exactly what we need to do. And Lord, make us obedient to do it. Holy Spirit, for some of us, we may not have ever known you or your voice. And God, I just want to ask that you pour yourself out on those brothers and sisters, Lord, who have never been filled with your Spirit, to Lord, to experience the complete overflowing of your Spirit in their life, God, that they would know your voice from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, that, Lord, they would live by your voice. Jesus even repeated that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. We want to know the voice of the Lord. We want to be more hungry for that than even everyday food. God, just wake up our heart to be looking to you for the slightest signal of your voice, for the slightest burning of our heart, oh God. And Lord, in hearing, I ask that you give us the grace and the strength to be obedient. We don't want to hear your voice and go the other direction, Father, as Jonah did. We want to go in sync. We want to be in step with your Spirit, oh God.